What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. This is Doggy Diamonds No Filter. But before we get into this, let's run this intro.
What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. You already know Doggy Diamonds, No Filter Podcast. We live and direct today. I got two people on the phone. Introduce yourself. Who want to go first? Matter of fact, let me tell them who we got on the phone. We got Reggie Wright Jr. and Marb James on the phone. What's going on, bros?
What's going on?
All right. And
we're from out here in the West Coast.
West Coast.
California.
I'm in BK right now, so we all the way from Brooklyn to the West Coast. So where do we start? Reggie, I think I first saw you first, Reggie. Then Marb got real viral within the last few months, but I saw you first, Reggie. Reggie, give us a little bit of your background. Where do people definitely know you from?
Okay, well, just like James, we both grew up in Compton, California, over there in the Maparu area.
Okay.
Is where we grew up at. And y'all know us, and the reason why y'all probably talking to us and know our names is because we were both associated with Suge Knight and Death Row Records.
Okay.
We both went to, we are two of the rare ones, James didn't finish, but we are two of the rare ones that can honestly say that we went to elementary school, junior high school, and the high school with Suge.
Oh, wow.
And so we real rare on that part. Even though James, you know, he took the easy way out on us at the end, but I'll get into that.
so y'all know. Anyway, so y'all know Sugar Bear then. Y'all know Sugar Bear.
we know him as Sugar Bear. We know his mama and stuff.
Okay.
And James was, you know, he was actually closer to Sugar back in the day as far as growing up and stuff like that, because he lived real close to him. And so he's the one that's kind of responsible for bringing Sugar. Well, really bringing the mob to Suge and Death Row. All his fault.
So
that's why y'all know us, and that's why we're here.
So we could blame James for all of that. You responsible for all them red suits and all that stuff that was going on? That's all you're doing?
Well, the red suits came in when the bulk of the mob came in, with me and my brother and the rest of the homies came in, and he felt untouchable at that point. And I'm responsible for bringing all the guys to him to get him to where he was at.
When you say Marb, because that's also a part of your name, what does Marb stand for? I thought it was member of Bloods, money over bees. What does Marb stand for?
Well, we had various names for it. Money over bitches.
Okay.
The mob was, it's hard to describe without saying it, but I mean, it was just money over bullshit.
Okay.
And that's how we lived. And we introduced shit to the mob, and now this motherfucker's only broke.
Yeah. So
hey, and let me clear this up, because James Drain's been a little politically correct with us, and I know y'all want to hear the word members of the Bloods, but y'all got to remember, dudes in Compton didn't really, even though they Bloods, they call themselves Pyrus, not so much Blood.
Got you.
And so that's why he's not touching on that, and I'll let him get into that more, but that's why he's not touching on that, because well, we all know Bloods, and even though Pyrus say Blood and all of that when they refer to each other, they really call it from Compton and Inglewood and Pacoima. They really call themselves Pyrus more so than Blood Cars, which is a L.A. thing.
Got you. So because it's different variations of Blood, but it's not different variations of Pyru. Does that make any sense?
No, you gotta, all the L.A. is Bloods.
Okay.
Majority of. And just in Compton, and you got Pacoima Pyrus, you got the all the Bloods and Power Rules and Compton is just Power Rules.
Got you.
So it's pretty much the same thing. We all represent the same thing, but different. They got red, we wear burgundy.
Oh.
Some of the Power Rules is a different color, but we represent the same thing.
Got you, yeah. Got you. So you go back with Suge Knight, James, was Suge Knight an official member of Bloods, or was he like just an affiliate? Because I always thought he was a Blood.
Suge was born and raised in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
His moms didn't let him affiliate with us, per se. Everybody in the hood knew him, the majority of the people. But for this gangbanging, he never did.
Mm.
Suge started and with us in 1988. Mm-hmm. In 88, I just got out of prison, and Suge was doing security for his, I believe, his cousin Wes out of Capitol. So at that point, when I hooked up with him, he needed people to help do security for Budweiser Superfest.
Mm.
So that's when he got into it. And when the money started coming, Death Row came, when he formed Death Row, that's when all the Bloods came. And no, he was never, ever, he never, no drive-bys, no carrying a rag, no hanging on the corners, none of that. Suge was a school cat, and everybody looked at him like that until I brought him and introduced him to all different Bloods.
So
and I'll echo and go ahead, on that, because that's when I was hanging out with Suge.
Okay.
And that's when he and I was running up and down Linwood High football field together. And we're talking about when we were like 16, 17 years old, which was that's what we were doing all the way up until, you know, I think Suge was like 23, 24 when he, you know, went back and reached back to Marv James and you know, working for Al Haymon, which he was talking about with the Budweiser Superfest and stuff. And so he was really concentrating on football. He went to El Camino Community College, on to UNLV, and then he had a little brief stint with the Rams and the 49ers.
Mm.
And then when that didn't work out is when he started working with security with Big Wes and Al Haymon and doing stuff with the Budweiser Superfest. And then that's when he had to reach back to the hood where he grew up. And that's when he, you know, came back with one of his childhood friends, which was James, who was deep into the gang activity, you know, because we're talking the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, we know what was going on back then.
So when Tupac said, it's M.O.B., what is he talking about? Is he talking about y'all, or is he, where is he coming from with that?
Tupac came in and just took liking to all the guys that was there, and he started saying the mob, which is our neighborhood, and like other people. But when Tupac started saying the mob, I didn't like it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you ain't never walked this Compton. And Suge was mad at me. Pretty much everybody was mad at me because of that. But he started, you know, saying the mob and his records and all of this other shit. And it was a joke to me.
Mm.
And Tupac came in like he had to prove himself to the security, opposed to the security proving himself to him.
Mm.
That you know, you the money man. So whatever you doing, we got your back. Opposed to, man, I'm trying to fit in. I'm nigga, this Power Rule, whoa. And it became a problem at the end of the day.
So let me ask y'all something. The night in Las Vegas when the stomp out happened after the Tyson fight, was y'all there for that?
Yeah, I was running 662. That's the club.
I was at the club as well. Neither one of us at the MGM that night.
Mm.
We both was at the club making sure everything was straight at the 66 Club 662.
So
and when James was, what are you saying? James was responsible for keeping everybody at the door. You know, the guy at the door that, you know, make sure you get in line and who gets in line and make sure the wrong people don't get in and make sure the right people do get in. And that's what James was responsible for.
So when y'all heard the news, because y'all had to be at the club, so did everybody come to the club after Tupac was shot or did everybody go to the hospital?
Suge them came to the club when they said Tupac was rushed to the hospital and said that Tupac was going to be all right. So we all stayed at the club partying.
You mean Suge with the bullet, the grazed
Let me clarify this. What happened was, Suge did go to the hospital.
Okay.
But Suge just barely had a grazing. You know, he wasn't that bad.
Okay.
He wasn't bad at all.
He wasn't that bad. So later on that night, even though a bunch of people did go to the hospital and was around about, you know, in Vegas, they party all night. They're pretty much like Miami. You know, when you ever go to clubbing in Miami, no clubs stay open until 5-6 in the morning. And that's pretty much how Vegas is. And so what James is saying is after the fact about 4 or 5 in the morning when Suge got released, because the incident happened around 11. Sometime that night, Suge came through and just pretty much announced to everybody that, you know, Tupac's going to be okay. And he'll get more into that story, you know, if we touch on that. But, you know, why we're here as well. So we're not going to go in too deep on a lot of stuff because we got our own thing.
We're going to announce that in a little bit. So y'all party and then everybody's like, Tupac is okay. Like, when did y'all realize, okay, shit, he's not okay. Like, he's in grave danger. Like, his life is in jeopardy.
Well, me personally, we was back in the neighborhood. And, you know, a lot of shit was going on then in the neighborhood because of that incident. And then, a few days later, they said he was gone. And
Seven days, the seven-day theory.
Yeah,
my whole thing was, okay, damn, you said he's going to be all right, and then bam. But Heron is one that said, because Heron went to the hospital and stayed up there. And when Heron came back, Heron said it wasn't looking good. He might make it and this and that. So our minds was focused on other shit. To be quite frank, retaliation and everything else. So we had issues going on and we weren't really tripping off that. And I really wasn't tripping off of it. But we had other business to take care of at that time.
Got you. So, when Tupac passes away, you know, us on the East Coast, we was hearing conflicted stories about who was responsible for it. Reggie, wasn't it a point that they was blaming you for being responsible for some of that stuff?
No one with any credibility. Old white men in 2004.
Okay.
That start coming out with their conspiracies and DVDs and stuff like that. People that was working on the Titanic and working somewhere else to decide, okay, this is a way I can make some money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was me and Shiv and me and Shiv's wife.
Wow,
you know, all of those are just people that's out there trying to push their narrative.
The battle for Compton, right? That's what it was. The battle for Compton. Reggie Wright. Yeah. I actually saw that.
Yeah. And he done did about 3 or 4 different DVDs about that. And so that's what that's about. But anyone with sense or anyone that was in the know has never accused or even thought anything like that. You got to remember, Tupac mama, I done did it. When Suge went to prison, I took over running Death Row Records. And me and her done had many, many conversations where we done put, you know, the greatest hits albums together, Still I Rise album together, Until the End of Time albums together, and all of that. So she suspected Reggie Wright of having anything to do with her son's death or anyone around them. You think they would have been in business or doing things with us?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Reg, let me cut you off real quick. You know, they had they stories and was trying to put it out and put the blame on other people. But being in the streets and being from the streets, and the night that it happened, those guys came to 662. The streets knew who did Tupac. And that was our biggest thing because it happened on our watch. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't about Reggie Wright. These are these other people out here with all these different theories and all this other shit. But gangbanging and just being on the streets and being there that night, the shit happened at the MGM. And, you know, you ran into a cat that wasn't accepting no ass whooping. And he retaliated. And, you know, all these theories they got right now today, they still don't want to believe who did it.
Mm.
And it's plain and simple. It's point blank. So our whole thing was Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was about. But other people focus was on Reggie because they didn't like Reggie. They didn't like Suge's wife. Certain people don't like certain people. So he was set up. No, he wasn't set up. Tupac got in a situation that he should have sat in the chair, start playing poker, or do something else. This ain't your job. This ain't your job right here to be checking motherfuckers from Compton when one of the homeboys run into a situation with this cat.
Mm-hmm.
So he got in business that didn't concern him at all. And I don't know how the fuck he knew who that dude was or whatever. I mean, people saying that he was pointed out and Tupac just went and took off. Tupac shouldn't have never been in a position to take off on that dude. So everybody know who did it and why. People just don't want to believe it.
So even with the guy, his name was also Orlando Anderson, a.k.a. Baby Lane, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, right. You're right.
From what I heard, that he actually put his work in out in the street. Like, he wasn't no guy to really play with like that. Like, he actually put his work in. So was that a recipe for death when they did jump him? Like, did if you had known that, yo, he's gonna retaliate?
I knew it was gonna be a retaliation. I didn't think it was just gonna be that soon.
Mm.
But hell, we all out here, all of them out there, and he just got his ass whooped. Yes, he was one of those cats, a youngster, that was not accepting no beat downs. You ain't whooping my ass and walk away from it. And I think Orlando and Suge already had an issue or whatever. But no, he wasn't. The kid was no joke.
Mm.
He was no joke. And, yeah, you know,
it wasn't Orlando. It was Keithy, his uncle, who was also in the car, who ended up giving the statement saying that, you know, that they did it.
Mm.
But that's who he had the relationship. I didn't mean to cut James off. I just wanted to say it was his uncle Keithy that had the relationship, not so much Orlando.
With Suge.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he was riding with his uncle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, your question, man, yeah, the dude was a rider, and as soon as Tupac touched him, it could have been both of them because he was trying to get them both.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't bullshitting. And you got a lot of guys like that's growing up in Compton, just like you have in New York, just mm-hmm. like you have in Texas. You got motherfuckers that ain't accepting no ass whooping.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one. The homies. It was too many homies there to handle that situation.
But Tupac, because it didn't even have nothing to do with Tupac, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, he didn't have to.
None of his business. Tupac would probably still be here if he wouldn't have did what he did.
Mm.
Let all of these security guys handle that situation.
Got you.
And Suge should have had him right on his side and said, this ain't your business. You're an artist. You're not a security. You're not security. You're not a gangbanger. You can kick it with him, smoke weed with him, do whatever you're going to do with him, but you ain't finna be out there fighting and shooting motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know, Tupac was Death Row money.
And knowing the history of Tupac, we all know how he is and how he likes to be loyal to who he's with.
That's not the point. I got that point,
but the point that James is making is that the people that's around him, such as Trayvon Lane, shouldn't have went up to Tupac and even talked to them in his ear or in his area to the point where Tupac would have took off and ran and did what he did. And that's what the issue was.
So in Los Angeles, y'all basically knew what happened on the street. But in New York, we're hearing all types of conspiracies. We're hearing Suge Knight set it up. We're hearing Puffy has something to do with it. We're hearing...
Put it this way. and just to cut that off, why was there 14 shootings back and forth in Compton starting a day or two after that shooting that went down?
We actually had a gang war with the South Side. It went for a minute about Tupac's situation, about the Death Row chains, when all that came out. And Puffy then was a part of that BS right there.
Okay.
Coming to Compton, hanging in Compton, and using those guys like Shield used us for security. When Puffy came to Compton, Puffy reached out to KPD now. And now there's a mob, Power Rule versus Southside Crips situation, opposed to you got Suge Knight and Puffy Combs, businessmen involved in some gang activity bullshit, and that's what they brought to the table. You know, this ain't about music. It became gang banging. It became who's the toughest and who's gonna last the longest. So Puffy used the Crips and Suge had the Bloods.
Wow.
And it went from there.
So and you're actually this is your hood. You're basically both sides, Bad Boy and Death Row, use your hood to create a war that was already gonna be because y'all rivals anyway, but the fact that both of these guys had money, they was able to fund the Blue and the red, and that's what even fueled it even more, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah, and in fairness to all of this, these things were happening prior to that, the chain incident.
But he enhanced
Southside were hanging with Bad Boys years before that. And the Mob Power Rule was hanging with Suge and Death Row years before that. It's just that neither side were afraid of each other. And then when that escalated by Puffy putting the bounty out on the Death Row chains, is why Puffy get blamed for that. And then basically KPD pretty much saying that Puffy, after Hit 'Em Up came out, and, you know, Suge was fucking on Missy, Puffy baby mama, and Pac was allegedly fucking on Fate, you know, that made those dudes want to take it to another level. And when Puffy allegedly put the $1 million out on the, you know, on the streets to KPD, they gave him more incentive to do what he had to do for them to do what they did in Vegas.
So,
on top of Reggie just being assaulted.
So Reggie, let me ask you something. The thing with the rumor between Suge and Puff's first baby mother, is that a rumor or is actual fact?
Oh, that's fact. I mean, I was right there. I done delivered money to Misa. I done had her son. I done been in the office with her son taking pictures.
What son? The oldest son?
Yep.
Oh, with the Death Row chain on?
With Death Row chain. I done been in the office when Puffy mama calling up there saying, hey, y'all can keep her. Let's send my grandson home.
Wow, I never.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So, but we're gonna get into stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. This is
that's what our show.
Yeah. So, so this is what I want
to
do.
That's why we need people to come over to the podcast if you really want to hear the real.
Yeah. So this is what I want to do.
Death Row.
Yeah. Let's
about Death Row days and gangster stuff in general because of Mob James' connections with Death Row. I mean, gangster stuff. Then you come over to our show.
Yeah, because I want Marb. I want Marb on, you know, on Marb on your on the podcast. You could talk about your brother. You know, RIP to your brother. Who I heard was a
big
very
Buntry.
Yeah, Big Buntry. I heard. Yep. So his name was Buntry because y'all was blood. You didn't want to say country. Did that make any sense?
Hey, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Drop the C and add a B.
Got you. Got you. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to your brother. So this is what I want to do. I want to let the world know that Mob James and Reggie Wright Jr. is down with us, Digital Soapbox Network, and they're doing a podcast called The Gangster Chronicles. It's going to be the first. You've seen them on various interviews. You've seen these two men on Vlad TV. You've seen them. Now they're going to be able to tell their story their way and give you more information. I'm just doing an intro right now, giving y'all to let y'all know. And this show is going to start Thursday, March 28th, which is next week, on the Digital Soapbox Network. It's going to be on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, everything. I got the artwork right here. I ain't even going to show y'all the artwork yet. So how does it feel that y'all finally going to be able to tell your story your way?
Me personally, from the beginning, I didn't want to say shit. I didn't. 2002 was the first interview I ever did when my brother was killed, and that was on Suge. You know, just stay the fuck away from my family. Then you start hearing different stories about Death Row and all of this shit. Like you're hearing now, people mm-hmm. just didn't understand what was going on. So I did one with Greg Keating. Mm-hmm. And that just like really just let a lot of my frustration out to let people know y'all blinded to the fact and y'all still saying y'all love this guy and that guy. And this guy was an OG. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So I feel good, and I feel good right now today being able to just put the real out there and let people really know why Tupac was killed, who killed Tupac, and stop all the bullshit. So I'm feeling real good about it, being able to speak and just let up all my frustrations, man.
Got you. Reggie? Reggie, go ahead.
And I want to echo the same thing, of course. And then, and the main thing, and it's not just going to be about Tupac and Death Row. You know, you got one of the, you know, I was a police officer in the city of Compton. Mm-hmm. And so I dealt with many a different elements of the rap world, the gang world, political world, and all of that. And we're going to touch on subjects like that. We're going to touch on subjects of, you know, like I said, in Bunchery, James' brother, talk about some subjects, just stories about him. People just want to know stories about him. How was it growing up? Did he play baseball? Did he play basketball? Did he play football? We're going to touch on stories like that about many of the mob members that grew up with us, that y'all have heard about them, live and die in L.A. We're just going to touch on stories about them, not just all the negative stuff that y'all hear about them. We just want y'all to get to know people, know about them. You're going to hear good stories about Shil. You're going to hear negative stories about Shil. And you're going to hear, you know, stuff that's going on with current events. We're just going to just be on a topic of, just like you and your platform.
Is. Yes.
Just on whatever's going on, keeping things current, and just hearing it from, you know, a guy in law enforcement that has connections and, you know, had ties in law enforcement, but also had ties and dealt with people that wasn't, you know, connected to law enforcement. A guy that had some industry connections. I ran, you know, Death Row Records for 6 years just to get some inside stories on that. And so if you just want to hear stories and not, you know, you want to hear good and you want to hear bad, then you can come over there with James, who's connected to the streets, and Reggie.
James is uncut.
Yeah, James. I like James because right now we on No Filter. And I like James because he has absolutely no filter. So to let the people know, it's going to be on radio.com, down with the Digital Soapbox Network. The Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by Reggie Wright Jr. and Marb James. Before we go, I'm a Brooklynite and I grew up with this guy. So this is near and dear to me. When Biggie got killed, Suge got blamed for that too. What could y'all touch on with that situation? Did y'all know anything what happened with Biggie? Does LA know who killed Biggie?
Let me say this. In that era, when shit was going down, the South Side, shit was said that Biggie was paying those guys and was fucking with those guys and turning them toward his way, than Puffy way, and shit went wrong.
Mm.
This is what I heard. So, I don't know Puffy from jack shit, but he ain't no saint as goddamn self. Mm. He's another Shield Knight.
Mm. So, you going to leave it like that, right? You're like, yeah, yeah.
And what I want to say, I want to just investigate, read, study the investigation done by Murder Rap with Greg Caden, and that's what I believe the actual findings is.
So you believe it was inside on the East Coast side? It had nothing to do with nothing on the West Coast, meaning that it wasn't? Well,
no, that's not what the finding. That's not the findings of Greg Caden.
Okay, so give the people a little briefing because they could go look it up. And of course, y'all going
to
talk about it.
I just want them to go. I ain't going to, like you said, you want to tune in?
Show.
But if you want to know what I believe and what I believe is the truth, read or go watch the movie Murder Rap. They got a book and they have a documentary.
Wow. All right, so that's what it is. So, yo, let the people know, man. Gangsta Chronicles, radio.com next week. They will be recording
March 28th.
Yeah, March 28th. Yo, I'm happy to have y'all on board. And I want you to get into I'm just gonna give some special requests. I want you to get into Reggie Wright Jr., that whole Rampart division, because we heard stories about that in New York and we was like, wow, the corrupt police. I need you to get into all of that.
Mob, I need you to touch all of that. Y'all don't know it, and Doggy has been, he's been very generous. He's one of the producers on the show.
Yes, yes.
And he's been helping us with our platform and stuff. And so y'all shoot those questions and those topics over to Doggy.
Yeah.
Because Doggy gonna be he's gonna be with us every step of the way.
Yes.
And and that's how we're gonna get our content.
And Mob,
but we have no reason to cover anything.
Yeah,
and like I said,
and Mob, I'm happy for the town. I'm happy for Mar because he get to talk about his brother in a positive light.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, and he exactly. get to you know, because talking is very, very stress relief. And it's, and you did a few interviews, and it's been interviews replying to you, Mob, that I'm pretty sure you didn't pretty much like. So you're going to address all that on your podcast this Thursday, The Gangster Chronicles on Digital Soapbox Network. You know what I'm saying? So
I ain't got nothing to hide. I'm going to say what I got to say, and I'm quite sure everybody knows by now. I have no filter, and I say what I gotta say, and I don't give a fuck who don't like it. It is what it is. Comment on it, and which they do. Some people piss me off. Some I'm in a different place now that I'm able to speak and get it off my chest, opposed to, you know, hating everybody around me for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I can. I'm expressing it and I'm letting it out, and people gonna understand. God damn, this shit was just bigger than the music itself. All of this shit going on, you know. I lost 10 homeboys, 11 homeboys behind this shit. You know what I'm saying? Including my brother.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that conspiracy bullshit. All these men wouldn't be dead if this shit wasn't for real.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's,
you know what I'm saying.
Go ahead, close us out, Ma. Go ahead. Go ahead, finish saying what you were saying.
And this is one of the reasons why I'm glad that Reggie, Vlad, and Greg gave me the opportunity to speak my mind and say what I got to say and however I say it. Because my whole thing from the beginning, I'm not doing no interviews unless I can say what I want to say.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck who I hurt. I don't give a fuck who get mad. I don't give a fuck if they say, oh, damn, what that nigga saying? Is that nigga telling? Come on, man. This ain't no telling. I'm telling my story, how I feel. And you know, ain't nobody going to be disappointed when I say what I say. They're going to be like, okay, cool. And I mean, man, I'm ready for it, and I'm just ready to go.
Next
any
week,
questions you got?
Yeah.
I got
so yeah. So what's gonna happen is when they, I'm gonna set up something to where we gonna get the fans involved, and I'm gonna shoot y'all over the questions, and they wanna know this, and y'all gonna address everything. Shout out to my partner, Big Steel Digital Soapbox Network. I welcome y'all to the family. With that, I'm gonna holler at y'all later on, and peace. I'll call you later on, Reggie Mob. Good meeting you, and we'll build later on.
Thank you, dog. Thank you.
Peace, y'all.
All right.
All right. So, that was a holy. I don't know if y'all heard some of them stories before, but I've seen some of the interviews they did, but I didn't really get a chance to watch them in depth. But that just down what he said, what Reggie said about you know, people playing with people, kids. Whoa, that always, like, I don't know, man. That's a whole new level, man. But yo, man, this is Doggy Diamonds. Yo, you know what listen, let me explain something to y'all. What we doing over here is we setting a precedent for giving people the opportunity to get their voice out there, where it's not about exploitation, it's about giving them their own platform, using my platform. Y'all already know, man, when I was doing this podcast thing, nobody wanted to sign me. Nobody wanted to put me down with their network or none of that. So what I did, I signed myself and I created something. And now I'm helping people just like me. So that's what it's really all about. So, you know, salute to everybody doing what they doing. I know y'all be praising a lot of people, and this person is this person is that. That sound good, but who they help, who they put on. You know what I'm saying? I'm believing putting people on. And I'm not finished yet. The next couple of months, you are going to see what I've been working on behind the scenes. Why I ain't been on the internet all day and why I don't be blogging all day and all that, even though I be wanting to, but I just don't have the time to because I'm doing a lot behind the scenes. So I will like to say shout out to every subscriber on iTunes, radio.com, Spotify, Stitcher, all the streaming platforms that y'all subscribe to Doggy Diamonds No Filter. Shout out to everybody who subscribe on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who follows me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. If you rock with me and you know my journey and you've been rocking with me this long, I am very, very thankful to you. I salute you. That's what it is. I'm Doggy Diamonds, man. Doggy Diamonds No Filter is the podcast. Doggy Diamonds TV is the YouTube. Digital Soapbox Network is the network. And watch. That's all I'm going to say. Watch. Y'all know I work hard. I haven't been in this game for 12 years because I'm a fool. You know what I'm saying? So with that, I'm Doggy Diamonds. Let me run the outro. And then the cartoon is going to tell you what y'all need to do after that. But after, you know, I'm going. Peace.
All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this.